Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Hey, Fairfield County, today and tomorrow, it's your turn in our series, Your Anecdotal Census, a people's history of the New York City area from 2000 to 2010. If you want to participate, just go to our website and answer this question. The biggest change in my neighborhood over the last 10 years has been what? The biggest change in my neighborhood over the last 10 years has been what? We have a separate page for each county in our listening area. We invite your posts from wherever. But on tomorrow's show, we will talk about Fairfield County, Connecticut. So today, we want all our Fairfield listeners to go to the page and answer the question. The biggest change in my neighborhood over the last 10 years has been what? Again, we'll talk on the air tomorrow about how Fairfield County has changed and put that in the context of the greater New York area. So join us in creating your anecdotal census, a people's history of the New York City area from 2000 to 2010. Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show. Well, we keep hearing about the BP oil blowout as the worst environmental disaster in U.S. history, but it is certainly not the worst environmental disaster in the history of the world. That unholy distinction may well go to the Union Carbide gas leak in Bhopal, India in 1984 that killed about 15,000 people by best estimates. Ironically, that worst environmental disaster is back in the headlines today as a court in India has just convicted 8 company officials. But who remembers Bhopal? With us for Things Worth Knowing about Bhopal 26 years later is Myra Kamdar, a fellow at the Asia Society and senior fellow at the World Policy Institute. Myra Kamdar, welcome to WNYC. Thank you so much for doing this with us today.
Thanks, Brian.
And I think that there are a lot of people listening right now who actually have heard the term but have no idea what the Bhopal gas leak was. What was it?
Well, it was a pesticide plant that was run by Union Carbide in the city of Bhopal, India, and there was a leak of poisonous gases from the plant that sort of washed over an area where a lot of the workers' families were living in fairly rudimentary conditions, and as you pointed out, ultimately killed at least 15,000 people, killed 3,500 on the spot.
Who are the dead? Were they mostly workers?
They were mostly workers and their families. There were a lot of little children. One of the most memorable photographs was a picture of a child with his eyes wide open, but obviously not seeing anything anymore.
How did it happen?
Well, it was blamed on negligence by an employee. It was some kind of an accident. Union Carbide said it was due to sabotage by a disgruntled employee.
That's part of how Union Carbide was trying to defend itself in court and shift the blame?
Yeah, although, they did end up paying $470 million to the government of India. Now, how much of that money was ultimately distributed to the victims is a matter of much debate.
Do you know how long the Bhopal leak actually took? Here we are still looking at thousands of barrels a day leaking out of this ruptured pipe in the Gulf, ever since April 20th. How long did that take?
You mean for the leak to
happen? At Bhopal.
It happened in a matter of hours.
And 15,000 people died.
Right, ultimately. I mean, that includes people who died of, the poisoning that affects on their body over years later.
What happened in court today?
What happened in court today was a kind of a very light slap on the wrist to some of the senior executives of the plant, most of whom are quite elderly now in their 70s. In fact, 8 verdicts were handed down, and one of the individuals who received a verdict has even passed on. They got a $2,000 fine and a 2-year prison sentence and were immediately released on bail.
Why did it take this long?
Well, the wheels of Indian justice are notorious for taking years and decades for cases to make their way through the courts. So that's not surprising in terms of the Indian judicial system.
But 26 years?
Frankly, I know it sounds amazing, but there are plenty of court cases in India that take this long. Interestingly enough, though, in the trial of the lone surviving terrorist in the Mumbai attacks of 2008, it took them a little over a year. So obviously, when there is a political will, there can be a way to speed up the process.
And we can take phone calls for just a few minutes on Bhopal, the worst environmental disaster probably in the history of the world. 212-433-WNYC. 212-433-9692 for Meera Kamdar from the Asia Society and the World Policy Institute. Anybody with ties to the area who knew anybody personally affected who wants to call in? We're just going to do this for another 5 or 6 minutes. So if you want to call in, do it right now on Bhopal or with any questions, 212-433-9692 or post to our webpage, WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. These company officials, were they Indians, Americans? Who was convicted?
They were Indian company officials. It is notable, and the victims are still very angry about the fact that the head of Union Carbide, the American CEO, Warren Anderson, who was the head of the company at the time, has never appeared in a court of law.
Was he indicted?
He was named as one of the accused, but he was declared an absconder by the Indian judicial system because he just simply never showed up. And it's never been in the interest of either the government of the United States or the government of India to, you know, proceed to extradition or anything like that.
It hasn't been in the interest of the government of India?
No, I don't think so, because the government of India, you know, is anxious for foreign investment. They don't want foreign corporations to feel like India is a hostile environment for investment. And a very important issue linked to this this headline today that your listeners should know about is that right now pending in India is a move by the government of India to get its parliament to pass a nuclear liability cap bill, which would limit the liability of nuclear plant builders in India. And that has been something that the U.S. government has been pressing India for as recently as last week when there was the summit between the two countries on the strategic partnership where Secretary of State Clinton met with her Indian counterpart, External Affairs Minister Krishna. That top on the agenda is to get the Indian government to pass that bill because without that bill, U.S. corporations cannot go in and build nuclear plants there. And in the Indian press today, there's all kinds of news from the opposition political parties saying, how can they be trying to pass this nuclear liability bill when this is what happened over the Bhopal disaster?
Mm. So if it's just 2 years and a $2,000 fine, what were they convicted of? Was it negligent homicide or something much less than that?
They had their crime, I guess, mutated from homicide to criminal negligence.
Do you think there are any lessons for the aftermath of the BP spill from anything about Bhopal?
Well, you know, we're still, as you pointed out, in the midst of having the oil pumping out. You know, in terms of the human toll of an industrial accident, Bhopal is the worst in history. In terms of the environmental toll, I think BP is stacking up to surpass it by far. One hopes that that American justice would deliver some verdicts and some compensation in a much speedier way than Indian justice has done in the Bhopal case.
Right, and you point up why it's so hard to use any of these superlatives, because it's so hard to compare. If this is the worst environmental disaster in U.S. history, of course, that's not world history, so Bhopal is in a different category to begin with, but it's one thing, and of course, 11 people died, we shouldn't forget that, in the original blast with the oil rig. But if 11 people died and a tremendous number of people lose their livelihoods and the earth is bespoiled in a way that's grotesque, how do we compare that to 15,000 people actually losing their lives in Bhopal? How do we compare that to Chernobyl? I mean, each of these things is so different.
Yes, that's true. I think, you know, the difficult part, though, is to calculate, you know, not just punishment for wrongdoing that results in these horrible accidents, but also, you know, to make the pain enough that companies feel it's in their interest to make sure that the accident is never repeated again.
John in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello.
I just want to raise two points. One is a correction. the lower court gave the maximum penalty it could give because the murder counts against the defendants were dismissed by the Supreme Court of India, and therefore the lower court could only sentence them based upon negligence. And the maximum penalty for negligence in India is 2 years. And that was reported on the BBC earlier.
Yes, Mira?
Yes, I think that's what I said earlier. Yes, you're right. The sentence was mutated to criminal negligence
so
with a fine of $2,000.
The maximum under that particular charge. John, thank you. Jeff in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jeff.
Yeah, hi. I mean, it's always been very well known that you can basically buy off a minister or any politician in India. And I'm wondering, was there any link between between Union Carbide's activities and the corruption of Indian politicians? And were any politicians or ministers ever held accountable over this stuff?
No politicians or ministers were ever held accountable, and no specific accusations of corruption were ever made. But you're right that the general terrain of Indian politics is rife with corruption, and it's hard to imagine any corporation of any magnitude doing business in there without someone lining their pockets.
Did you say $470 million is roughly what Bhopal? I've lost between Bhopal BP and UC Union Carbide.
Union Carbide. That's what they paid the Indian government in a settlement.
In a settlement, and did they pay additionally to individual victims' families?
No, it was then for the. It was then the Indian government that was to pay the individual families.
Do you feel that the fine had any impact on best practices for industrial safety in India since then? Of course, nobody wanted something like this to happen. But did it have any impact that has made people more safe as a result?
That's very hard to say, Brian, because, you know, I think probably, most foreign corporations don't want something like this in the headlines. It's in nobody's interest, and so they would take, basic precautions. But, India is a country where laws on the books, environmental protection laws on the books, and they have just about every environmental protection law you could think of on the books, are not enforced. They're consistently flouted. There's very, very high levels of industrial pollution that go on a daily basis, and high levels of cancers and other kinds of human suffering that go along with that, those high levels of pollution, and that just kind of goes on as a matter of course. One hopes that the nuclear power plants that are being built will have maximum safety procedures built into them and will be built properly with the right kind of cement and all of that sort of stuff, but it's ultimately very hard to control.
Let me get one more caller in for you. It's Munira in New Jersey. You're on WNYC. Hi, Munira.
Hi. I'm really enjoying the discussion. It's very informative. I wanted to know, with all the glamour that we see about India, is there the people are so poor. Is there any investigation into whether the money that was awarded did actually get to the victims? You mentioned that, because it's really sad to know if they didn't get what they deserved.
The victims did receive payouts. Now, maybe not all of the victims, because the 15,000 or some even as many as 20,000 ultimate victims include people who died at various points along these 26 years from injuries received as a result of inhaling those horrible gases. So maybe not all the victims have received compensation, and the amount of compensation in any case was small by U.S. standards. I mean, it would have been on the order of what is called a lakh in India of rupees. It's about $2,500. So it was minimal.
Thank you for your call. And Mira Kamdar, I want to thank you for giving us so much good information about Bhopal. I really do think that there are a lot of people, as bad as this was, as iconic as this is in industry and environmental circles, there are a lot of people who don't really know what Bhopal was, and I think we filled in a lot of the blanks for a lot of folks today using this court ruling today as an opportunity. So Mira Kamdar, fellow at the Asia Society and senior fellow at the World Policy Institute. But before you go, I have to ask you one question, because our next segment is going to be about what the Internet is doing to our brains. Do you use the Internet a lot?
I do.
What do you think your gadgets are doing to your brain?
I don't know. I've been on your show like a couple of years ago. Do I sound worse now? You know, one worries.
It was all those distracted answers. I don't know what to think. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Brian.
And we'll talk about this with one of the founders of the geeky site, boingboing.net, but who also is into making things by hand. So those two worlds collide, and we'll get our first takes on what the internet is doing to our brains. Stay with us.